morning, good afternoon, guys. We're back for another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike and Aaron. And we're going to hop back right into things this episode with our recommendation from Mike, RoboCop. Well, that was Aaron. My apologies. Our recommendation from Aaron, the RoboCop trilogy. So, do you want to just start us off?
Yeah. We jumping right into the movies, or you want me to preface the entire series?
Whichever you prefer to do.
Okay, so RoboCop is a story about a cop who ends up getting killed in the line of duty. Meanwhile, the company OCP, Omni Consumer Products, is trying to rebuild old Detroit, and they have strategically placed candidates in order of risk factor to make something called RoboCop. They have a couple different versions of this in the movie. One of them malfunctions, and they have to resort to Plan B, which is what RoboCop is. So the first movie is exactly what I said. That's basically the entire plot of the movie. But yeah, these three movies follow that character through the arcs in old Detroit. So, so that's RoboCop 1. So, what'd you guys think of the first RoboCop?
I have seen this movie before. I haven't seen the second or the third one before watching them this time. So, I like RoboCop 1. I mean, it is really violent.
Oh, it's extremely violent.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy violent. Yeah.
This is actually the NC-17 rated version, which...
The version
that we watched on Amazon is the NC-17, okay, the unrated version, because that's where they show Murphy's arm actually getting blown off. That's where they show Kenny getting shot repeatedly once he's already fallen on top of the model. Stuff like that. Like, stuff that, like, they were like, it's pretty violent, but let's show them way more violence.
So this is one of Paul Verhoeven's actually good movies.
Starship Troopers is okay.
No, yeah, I said one of them. He has like a handful of good movies, and the rest of them suck. But this one's actually really good, and it deals with like a lot of the themes similar to Starship Troopers does, with, you know, humanity and different things like that. We see it especially in this one whenever Murphy's like remembering that he has a family. Mm-hmm. Like, they try and touch on that in the second one, and I literally forget the resolution of it. But,
I don't even know if there was one.
Yeah. Does he eat any baby food?
In the second one? No.
No, I meant in the first one. I could have swore there was a scene where I saw him eating the baby food.
He never eats it. They just say that it is to sustain his organic tissue.
Okay. All right.
That's it. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, because he doesn't necessarily feel hunger, but like,
no,
probably.
But he needs to, so that he doesn't.
To keep his brain and his face alive.
Decay away, yeah.
I thought that Peter Weller was good. He excels, obviously, as the human Murphy character, but like, whenever you get somebody in the suit, it doesn't really matter who it is.
No.
Like,
do you know who the first choice was?
No.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
And he read the script that Paul, because Paul wanted him to be RoboCop, and he read the script and he was like, nah, he goes, I don't think that's for me. He's like, I've already played a robot in one thing. He's like, I don't think it's for me.
I mean, that's,
kudos to him for actually not taking the role, because I feel like at that point you just become, I mean, he's an action star, but I feel like you just become laughable at that point.
Mm. Yeah, like, I think we
closest looked. He came was Mr. Freeze.
Yeah,
kind of looks like RoboCop, character.
But yeah, like, it literally could have been anybody, which we see in the third movie. It doesn't really matter, but, because you just see their face.
Yeah.
Was it Peter in the second one?
Yeah. It was him, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Peter was in one and two. He wasn't in the third one.
I couldn't tell. I don't pay attention to the credits at the end. I turn it off.
So the plot was pretty well woven together where, so Murphy's killed by a gang of outlaws, and then they persist through the story because a higher-up at OCP hires them, Clarence specifically, to murder he puts a hit out on a competitor in the company. So I thought that was an interesting way to keep them around the whole time. Mm. And then they're like, oh, you're going to be hired to try and kill RoboCop with these ridiculously powerful sniper rifles. Like, that is insane.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty awesome. So, like, RoboCop is the, like, Paul Verhoeven was quoted with saying that RoboCop is a Jesus story where the hero is killed and then resurrected.
And yeah.
And the whole point of the movie is, like, a really nice piece of the movie is Murphy trying to find his humanity while having to be this autonomous crime-fighting machine. Mm-hmm. Which is something that the remake does not do well. Because he, like, Murphy in this doesn't know who he is. He's trying, the whole movie, he's, like, happening upon people that memories spark, mm-hmm. and he's like, wait a minute, like, and he starts trying to, like, figure out who he is and find his killers.
So basically, and, it would have been better if they erased his memories, if they could. I mean, I guess...
They did. They said they wiped his memories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they even say, like, it's at the beginning when they're like, Bob Morton comes in, he's like, lose the arm, and they're like, well, we're gonna blank his memory anyway, because he's, like, snapping, and he goes, does he know what I'm saying here? And they're like, it doesn't matter, we're gonna blank his memory.
Hmm.
So they said they were gonna do that, but there were still things that he remembered from it.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I really didn't like in the remake, is Murphy knows exactly who he is when
time.
He wakes up. Yeah.
Hmm.
Because they're like, hey, they're like, we don't want to shock you, but you're half robot now.
So that's more like the $3 Million Man type
thing.
Yeah. rather than being RoboCop.
Yeah, there's no, like...
Because that's kind of essential to the character, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the amnesia
of it. Because in the RoboCop remake, it's just... Hey, you had a terrible accident, and we rebuilt you. And he's like, "What the fuck? Like, well, I'm gonna go find my killers, like, and take because he knows who did it.
Mm.
He knows who did it. In this, he doesn't know, and that's a cool part of the journey that we get to see. Whereas when I watched the remake, I was like, "Well, what the hell do you? Why am I interested in this character? Like, I don't care."
Is it a legit retelling of the first one?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, it is. But there's, like, stuff in it that you're just like, why?
Hmm.
Like that, for instance. Like, why would you just have him wake up and be like, well, I gotta go find my killers. Like, it's like, no, I would rather experience that with that character.
Right.
Because it's interesting to the story when he should not know who he is or anything like that.
So, Detroit in this universe is just, like, the biggest shithole ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, there's, like, outnumbers criminals to as civilians, like,
mm-hmm.
300-1, basically.
So, one thing I want to...
It's like they live in Escape from New York.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Pretty much. I think it's actually in the second one. But these people are robbing a ammo...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, the second one.
But it just ties into what you were saying. They go into this ammo place, and there's legit... rocket launchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have ammo for the rocket launcher. I'm like, what kind of shit town is this?
Yeah, and that's the funny part about the beginning of the second one. I mean, I don't want to, like, get right
on.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to jump in this.
But, like, it shows you, like, a city block, which you don't get to see in... You do a little bit in the first one, but in the second one, like, there's some dude robs an old lady... for her purse, who's pushing cans across the street, takes her purse, and then two prostitutes beat the hell out of him and take the money, and then on the same block, there's the ammo store.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, what is this?
So that's kind of an interesting through line they have through at least the first two movies. They kind of, it's like a part of the third movie. The, what is it, Delta Tower?
Delta City.
Delta City?
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of the whole... driving force behind, I mean, the creation of Ed 209 and consequently RoboCop is they're constructing the city so that I don't even know why they're constructing the city.
Well, they're constructing the city because they're trying to privatize it so they can make a shitload more money off of it because, well, let's face it, Detroit sucks. So they want to make the city profitable instead of people not wanting to have anything to do with it.
So they're just like, they're using those tools in order to police the area. And then integral to the second movie, I believe it's the second movie, where all of the cops go on strike.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which they start at they start that in the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the best scene in this first movie is when Ed 209 falls down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. And starts literally having a tantrum at the bottom of the stairs because he can't get up. Yeah.
That's one thing that I think benefits from this movie over the second movie and the third movie for this instance is, like, the second and third movie, they're like, oh, we have this bad robot to go against RoboCop in, I forget his name, Kane. And Otomo, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah.
The samurai.
Yeah.
Samurai robot. In this one, it's just like a mindless robot controlled by a company. I mean, the other two, not mindless, but controlled by the same company.
Ed 209. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which should have been what RoboCop was. Really. Yeah. Technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it really bites him in the ass that they put human parts.
Yeah. So RoboCop has four prime directives. Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law, and there's always a classified one, which his directive for that was Ronnie Cox's character's contribution to his psychological profile, which is he cannot arrest a member, or cannot arrest a senior officer of OCP. So he, like, knew that he was doing shitty shit and was like, all right, well, I gotta make sure he doesn't kill me or anything like that. Which, at the end of the movie, he gets fired and RoboCop shoots him out the window.
Oh, right, yeah.
I like how Ann Lewis is, like, his partner when Murphy is alive, and then whenever he becomes RoboCop, like, he was working on his own, but near the end of the movie and into the second and third movie, she's like, okay, RoboCop is my partner still.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange. Because, like, the entire reason RoboCop exists is so that he can work alone to clean up the streets of old Detroit.
And let's talk about his cleaning up the streets of old Detroit, where he literally just goes around shooting people and everything. Like, I mean, it's badass. Like, especially when he shoots that dude's dick off. It's great. It's one of the most iconic scenes in history.
Yeah, he just knows when crimes are happening.
Yeah, oh yeah, because we were talking about that, and I was like, and he even has a line in the movie where he goes, I must go somewhere, there is a crime happening, and I'm like, how does he know, though?
Yeah. Well, it's the shithole Detroit.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like,
there's always crime happening in old Detroit.
Well, yeah, so, like, I remember I said to you whenever he showed up to what was going to be the rape, I was like, are they hanging out the window of their building? Like, does he get 911 calls, like, through his system, and they're like, there's about to be a rape, and he's like, where? Like, and then just, like, shows up.
Where? I must go.
I must go.
Yeah, so very robotic moving.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Oh, yeah.
They got that so on point.
Oh, yeah. He had to practice that. Like, he had to have a professional, I think it was like a professional ballet dancer or something, teach him how to, like, get those movements to where, like, I watched a whole video of him talk about it.
Yeah.
He's like, it is not easy.
Right.
He's like, there are rubber parts to that suit. Like, if you turn a certain way, they'll buckle and it'll look off.
Huh.
He's like, we had to do, like, just, like, takes after take to, like, get it to work exactly the way that it needed to go. But, like, he, like, clotheslines that one dude into the cooler. Like, but I was telling Sean, he doesn't arrest anybody except for Clarence Boddicker. And then at the end, that's one of my favorite lines, is when he's like, all right, he's like, I give up. And he's like, I'm not arresting you anymore. And he goes, oh. And then he pulls the gun on him, and he's like, hey, whoa.
Yeah, that is strange, where, like, he's there to arrest people, but he really only does arrest Clarence.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody else is using deadly force against him, so he just murders them.
Yeah. I mean, Ed 209's programmed just to kill people,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just a huge, like, yeah, he's not going to arrest anything.
No.
He's literally a murder robot.
Yeah.
Like, he only has guns. He can't bring anybody.
Which, it makes me, like, doesn't make me question. It makes me realize the motivations behind OCP, where they're like, this entire town is garbage. I don't care if we have to kill half the population. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how Lewis recognizes that RoboCop is Murphy because he does the gun thing that his son, I don't even remember the name of the show.
TJ Laser.
Yeah, TJ Laser. He's just like...
And she notices that right whenever he's target shooting, when he first comes in, because he does the target shooting and then goes, and then locks it into the thigh holster that he has. That's a pretty cool thing, honestly. Yeah, I love shots where it, like, somebody's standing off with him, and it just goes, and he just, like, pulls it out of there. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And spins it around.
The size of that gun is ridiculous.
Oh, my God, yeah, that
gun. It's humongous.
Have you ever seen, like, pictures of, like, people holding that gun? It's, like, this long.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
I could tell it was big.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's not a gun that really...
There isn't. They designed it on something, but when they designed it, there's a neat little additive that the designer put in. If you look at the front part of the gun, it's shaped like a coffin.
Oh.
That was done on purpose.
Huh. Yeah.
Because he just kills people.
Is it a three-round burst or a four?
Three-round burst.
Okay.
Yep.
It reminds me a lot of Dredd, just the way that he... I mean, I don't know which one was created first,
RoboCop.
Dredd obviously took influence just, like, by the mask.
Oh, yeah, just, like, being able to see the...
And how Dredd only kills people, too.
He does.
But that's, like, the whole point of that judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah. And the movie ends with one of the... one of the best lines ever, when... Dan O'Hurley's character, they call him the old man, and I can't remember what his actual name is.
I don't know. I'm sure he does.
But he shoots Ronnie Cox, and he falls out the window to his death, and then as the old man's fixing his tie, he says, "Nice shooting, son, what's your name?" And he just turns towards the camera, looking over his shoulder, and says, "Murphy." And I'm like, that's the best ending ever!
Mm-hmm.
I'm like... He just remembered who he was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of iconic lines in this one.
There is. Like, I'd buy that for $1.
Well, yeah, that one's crazy. But, like, dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Your move, creep.
Yeah, shit like that. It's chock full of old ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if you've never watched these movies, you've heard those lines before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on par with, like, I'll be back and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Both these were produced by the same company, by the way.
Yeah.
Orion Pictures.
Yeah, makes sense.
And nobody would actually take the screenplay. When they were going around, they were asking studios. Fox turned it down. And they're regretting it now. But
was it because it was too violent?
No, it was because it was stupid. They're like, RoboCop. They're like, we're not funding a movie called RoboCop. They're like, what the hell... Like, and that was the title, and they're like, no, that's the title, and they're like, we're not picking this up.
It must be because we now know what it is, but, like, I don't think it sounds stupid, but...
No, I mean, it's just iconic now, so you don't even think about how how silly
it's
title
hard to get
sounds.
In their mindset.
Yeah, because, and they took it around, and Orion was like, yeah, we'll do it. And they're like, you will? And they're like, yeah. They had recently just had success with the first Terminator movie, so they were like, yeah, we'll do it, we've had success with it before, so... And then they got Paul Verhoeven, who incorporated one of the best lines in the movie.
Yeah, because he's a foreigner.
Yeah, he's...
He's
Danish, I believe?
Yeah. So, prostitutes are called bitches, where he comes from. So whenever Clarence goes in and is like, bitches leave, it's like, you know, telling the prostitutes to get out,
okay.
But it's not, you know, that doesn't translate in English the same way.
So that line was improv'd by, why can't I think of his name?
I don't know. Red,
Red Foreman, but I'm trying to, Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah.
So that line was improvised because when they were doing he was running through the motions of that scene, and every time Paul would refer to the girls, he'd be like, and the bitches will be doing this, like, and they're like, why do you keep, like, someone pulled him aside, and they're like, why do you keep saying, Paul, you can't just call them that. So, like, and then he was like, what? He's like, the prostitutes, the bitches, and they're like, oh, like, they're like, okay, like, we get it. Like, so then he walked in, and he's like, bitches leave, like, yeah.
Oh, my.
And that's, like... That grenade that he uses to murder that guy.
Bob.
Yeah, that's like such a cool... He's just like... Clarence is like a great villain.
Yeah, he is. He's just,
like evil.
He is. Like, yeah, like whenever he sits down when the... the first scene with him just establishes how evil he is when they're getting ready to gun down Murphy, and he blasts his hand off, and he literally goes and sits in the corner and just watches while they obliterate him with shotguns. By the way, man can take a lot of ammo, apparently, and still be alive.
Yeah, the fact that Murphy is even, like, any semblance of alive, like, that they can use his brain...
You guys kept saying that he was murdered. I'm like, no, he was massacred.
Yeah, he was straight up, oh my god, no. There's no way, like... I mean, obviously, it's like an alternate future type of thing, but there's no way anybody would be able to survive that shit.
Well, and I said to you when we watched it, I was like, now watch this. Like, when they're wheeling him into the hospital, it's showing what he sees, and I'm like, how is he still functioning?
Oh, he'd be in shock.
Yeah, I'm like, how is he just still, like, he's just, I mean, of course he's in shock, but he's just, like, staring up at the ceiling, and I'm like, but it's showing that he is still technically alive, and I'm like, how?
Is they fucking huge hole in the back of his head. Yeah, that's one thing I did like after, like, the face reveal where it was, like, that bullet scar that he had on his head. I don't know if it's in the second... I know it's not in the third one. I don't know if it's in the second one, though.
I think it is in the second one.
Yeah, that's one continuity error from the third one.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a... We're gonna talk about the third one.
I can't wait to talk about the third one.
So, I think that's the end of RoboCop.
Yeah.
So,
I think the second one picks up pretty shortly after.
Right after, because the police strike's still going on.
Yeah.
So this movie, RoboCop 2, is directed by Irvin Kershner, who directed The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And the screenplay was written by Frank Miller, who you know from
the
Dark Knight, the Dark Knight Returns. He's written tons for Batman. He's an extremely well-renowned comic writer and artist.
Well, he did Dark Knight Returns, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That whole... story.
Which is funny because Peter Weller plays Batman in The Dark Knight Returns in the animated version.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. I've seen it a couple times.
Next time you watch it, listen to the voice.
Yeah.
Because it's you could just hear it.
I want to start number two off by saying I was under the... I'm pretty sure I watched all three of these years ago. But like I specifically only remember the first one pretty well.
It's because it's the best one.
But, and that's what everybody says, and I'm not arguing that it's not. But goddamn, number two was just as good. Like, I think it held up, you know.
It's not
as iconic, but like,
it's
still a good movie, I think.
Yeah. When I first watched RoboCop, I was like, this is great. And then I watched RoboCop 2, and I was like, eh. Then when I went back again and rewatched it, like... and this was before we just did our latest watch, I was like, you know, RoboCop 2 is pretty solid.
Yeah.
I was like, there really isn't a lot that I can complain about with it.
Yeah, that's basically what I was trying to say.
Like, it's just right underneath.
It's underneath,
the first one.
But
it's...
the only complaint that I can think of is that RoboCop as a character is very, like, he's not in the movie all that much. Which is fine. That's like, yeah, I like that... the movie can be a driving force on itself and that RoboCop doesn't have to be essential to what's happening. And Kane as, like, the robot, he looks so fucking stupid. Specifically the CGI face.
Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I hated that he, like, couldn't communicate.
Yeah.
You know?
It was just grunts and, like, digital, like, noise. Okay, so before we go any further, I want to lay out the plot of the second one. So, the police strike's still happening in old Detroit. They're mad at RoboCop because he's still, like, on the force, but he doesn't really have the choice to strike or anything like that. Like, him and Lewis are still out on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy is stalking his wife. and there is a new narcotic drug called Nuke that the drug lord Kane is peddling. And he basically controls all of old Detroit because of this drug, because he just has people hooked on it. So it doesn't become RoboCop's looking for him, but he doesn't become a huge problem until they meet face to face. Then RoboCop kind of develops a vendetta against him.
Yeah,
I mean, he chop shops him basically.
Yeah.
Kane is also a pretty horrible person because he captures that dirty cop And he, he like kills him in front of, I don't know if the kid is his, but he kills him in front of that, that child, basically.
That kid.
Richie Rich.
Yeah.
So, I know it's not him, but I just like always call him Richie Rich because he just looks like him.
I mean, kudos to these child actors whose parents will let them swear up a storm.
I said that when we were watching. I was like, do you think that this kid, like, they were like doing the auditions and everything, and he's just like playing Game Boy or something. They're like, your next line is fuck. And he's like, yeah. Like,
he's a pretty decent child actor.
Yeah, no, he did good. But I mean, half the time I was slightly annoyed by him in some ways, and then other times I'm like, wow.
Oh yeah, he's annoying.
Yeah, I guess he's supposed to be because he's a villain. But
yeah,
I don't know.
He's a victim of circumstance.
Yeah,
growing up in old Detroit, in this...
being taken in by a drug lord.
Yeah. And it hasn't afforded.
How did he get so high up on the chain?
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, he like literally becomes the...
after Kane is.
At first, I thought he was gonna be like, he would take over.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing else where RoboCop like hesitates to kill him,
right,
or like, you know, subdue him the first time they raid the nuke like factory because mm-hmm. he's a kid.
It's Conway Twitty.
Yeah, he's a kid, and you know. Obviously, Murphy has his memories. He's not just going to murder a kid.
Right.
But then the kid's like, lights him up.
What's he say? Something like...
Can't shoot a kid, can you, fucker?
Yeah, something,
yeah. It was just crazy. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he said that line. I was like, oh. I know I've seen child actors swear before,
yeah.
But he did it pretty... frequently.
Effortlessly.
Yeah.
So, as I touched upon when we were talking about the first movie, the resolution of Murphy and his family, like his old family, they never resolve that.
No.
So,
no,
like,
the lawyer literally comes in and tells him, you need to quit stalking your wife. And then that's it. Like, they're like, you're a machine. And he's like, okay. And then that's it. Like,
okay.
That's what we get.
She, like, comes to the precinct, right? To, like,
to see
him,
yeah. And then he's like, your husband is dead. Like,
and that's the last we see of her, right?
Yeah,
like,
we never
like
see
that,
her again.
That's such a...
Was that meant to be Murphy making the decision, hey, I can't have a life with
her?
Yeah. So, like...
Yeah,
because
he's
like, touched my face. Oh, it's cold, because I'm not a human, I'm a robot.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
That was just, like, a weird... I feel like it wasn't paid off.
It wasn't.
Because they... I felt like that was setting up for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
RoboCop 4.
Yeah. But in this one, it's kind of contrasted to what they are attempting to do in the third one, where that scientist is like, we need to make RoboCop more brand friendly. So they they program Murphy to be like more hospitable, kind of like a G.I. Joe,
mm-hmm.
where, do you remember those like ads where it's
yeah.
like, this is how you blah, blah, blah. So there's like that baseball team of kids that are like robbing was it like a music store or something?
Yeah, it was like an electronics store.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're just like robbing the place.
And they're beating up the old guy running it with a baseball bat.
And then so Lewis kills the coach.
Yeah.
And because RoboCop
Which
do
is
it.
Probably that kid's dad that was right beside him.
And then he goes in and all the baseball like, the entire team is there, and he's like, this is how... He, like, trying to do a PSA to them,
yeah.
and it's like, RoboCop's
yeah.
a
and
pussy
now. A word on nutrition.
Yeah.
Like, well, one of my favorite parts in that is when Lewis is in there, and she's telling the kids, she's like, hands up. Like, she's like, all right, now everybody come forward. And you hear Murphy outside... And it, like, shows him outside, and he's literally holding the dude's corpse by the shirt, and he's reading Miranda right to him. And then she's like, you're reading Miranda to a corpse, and he just drops him, and he goes, I'm having trouble.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, segment of the movie's pretty funny.
Yeah.
One badass part, I don't know why it reminded me of this, but the opening whenever they're raiding the nuke factory, where... they're like, don't shoot or I'll kill this hostage. And then he, like, calculates that if he shoots the fridge, it'll, like, ricochet. And
oh, yeah,
that
was pretty cool.
That was
yeah.
pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, because he's like, I'll do it, man. I'll fucking kill the kid. And he's like, we don't want that. And he's like, boom, 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 ding, dead.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because Lewis, like, catches the baby.
Yeah, as the guy falls down.
Yeah, as the guy falls.
Piggybacking on that scene where the kids run out like and everything. When they're driving in the car, and she's like, "Something screwed up with you, Murphy," and he's like, "Isn't the moon wonderful this evening?" Like,
yeah, he's like glitching.
Yeah, and then she's like, "It's daytime," and he's like, "It's the thought that counts." It's just shit like that. Like, they really incorporate a lot more comedy into this one, where they're like, "Let's make it a little bit more lighthearted."
Yeah, see,
it's lighthearted on this, but at the same token, it's like just as dark as the original.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why I was under the impression that number two, that's when they jumped to PG-13.
Nope.
And I started it. Like, again, I'm pretty sure I watched these. I don't know if I was half asleep back when I worked at where I worked before. So we would just sit there and watch movies all day. And, but violence started to happen pretty quickly. And I'm like, oh, this one's just as violent as the first one, really. I mean, maybe not as much, but still an R rating.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly pleased with that.
So, RoboCop gets captured and chop-shopped Kane and his band of goons. And then he gets dropped back off.
They just drop his body out in front of
they're literally throwing parts out.
Oh, that actually happens before. Because when they rebuild him, they put his prime directives in. And then he
they meet like with a board and they're like, how do we improve RoboCop? And what's his name? Johnson.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's never saved a cat or whatever. Or a tree.
Cooked marshmallows with some Cub Scouts.
Yeah, and then I don't even remember what her name is, but
Miss Fax.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, what a great idea!" You know, obviously.
Yeah, being jabbing, snarky. Yeah. when Murphy himself is realizing that his system's all screwed up, so he literally goes over to like the power breakers and just like grabs them and starts like frying his circuits so that he can
him quietly walking remember. Over there. Is
yeah.
Like,
yeah, because
where is
like,
he going?
Yeah, and then he just goes over and he's like, and then Lewis has to like hit him with a 2x4 to get him off of it. And then they set him back up, and he's like, "All right," he's like, "We're gonna go kill Kane." And then they all literally just hop in their cars to go kill Kane.
That's whenever he's still human, right? Kane is.
Yes, Kane is still.
Because that's another dark part about this movie is that. Whenever they capture him, like, he's alive. I don't remember how he gets hurt.
He stands off with Robo in a armored truck while Robo's on a motorcycle, and they come at each other, and then he hits the brakes and dives through the window and tackles him through the back of the truck. So he should have been dead. Absolutely should have been
dead. He's, like, crippled, and he's taken by OCP, and then she is on a mission to find a... to basically recreate RoboCop.
Yeah,
she's a psychologist.
The company has tasked her with making a new RoboCop.
Yeah, who can be controlled more, I think.
Yes.
And
she's looking at criminals for whatever psychotic reason.
Because her motivation and her reasoning is saying, like, Murphy was a success because of...
fierce sense of duty.
Yeah, his loyalty to the police force. And her opinion is if she gets somebody who is willing to... become a cyborg, they'll be more primed to follow orders because they've like done tests before and they've been rejected because they're holding onto their humanity too much. They don't want to be a robot, essentially. But she's like, oh, plenty of death row inmates would jump at the opportunity to, you know.
Well, that and Kane has a Jesus complex.
Yeah.
As we see in the movie where he compares himself to Jesus and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, he wants to be immortal. Number two, he's going to be a lot easier to control when you have to keep feeding him the drug that is keeping him functioning.
She has, like, that entire huge cylinder to feed him.
Yeah.
But, another dark part of the movie is she literally just, like, euthanizes him, essentially.
Yeah.
She's, like... pulls his plug, and she's like, he's flatlining. We need to get him down here now so that we can harvest his brain. And
the whole time, he's like,
"Yeah,
like you just see the fear in his eyes. Like, no, like, no, no,
yeah,
no,
she tries
me.
To stop her.
Yeah.
And just not how it goes. And then he becomes a horrible CGI-faced robot. The robot looked pretty cool, though.
Yeah. The stop motion was...
Mm-hmm. That's one thing, Ed 209 and Kane in this movie, and in the third one, the Ed 209 stop motion, it's all pretty good.
Well, and I mentioned it to you watching it. To me, stop motion for like a robotic type of thing like that works a hell of a lot more, especially if the armature's made well, because you see all the parts moving, the hydraulics and everything. Whereas, like, CG, you look at it and you go, oh, okay, well, I can tell, you know, that that's CG.
Yeah.
But, like, with a stop-motion robot, especially one, I don't know how big the model was for it. I'm assuming it was probably, like, somewhere, like, this tall. But it looks more robotic. It has those slower movements and it can stop on a dime, like, if it needs to. Mm-hmm. The robotic stop-motion just looks cooler. Look at the AT-ATs in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they look like they're gigantic, you know, hulking robotic things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just my opinion on it. And the battles even look cool, like between him and RoboCop.
So OCP is trying to basically, well, Detroit defaults on their like payments because of the Delta City. They're like, well, if you don't pay up enough money, we're going to own Detroit, old Detroit, basically. So the mayor's like, you can't do this. And it's like, no, you signed a contract that basically forfeits the city to us if you don't pay. So that's whenever the kid and the mayor strike a deal. They're going to fund him so that he can buy back the city. But OCP is like, nope, we're going to send Kane after you and murder all of you.
Yeah.
And that's one scene where it's like, oh, he still remains... He holds on to some of his humanity because he, like, comes face-to-face with his love interest.
Mm.
And you can see, like, on his CGI face, he's like, oh. And then he just goes, like, and gets that angry face and then just fucking murders her.
Yeah, literally grabs her and just, like,
breaks her neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, one thing I wanted to bring up is, like, OCP was very, it was a cutthroat company in the first one.
Yeah.
However, they went a step above in this one where the old man was like, okay, so we have to murder the mayor and everything. And they're like, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, and the lawyer's like, yeah, that'll work. Like, and it's like, what the fuck? Like they have no qualms about just killing whoever to make sure that they own Delta City. And then imagery.
Did they even start construction on the city?
No, they still, they never begin construction. Well, no, they do.
I guess they technically do.
They do in the third one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, and then the imagery in the end of the second one where I pointed out to you, I was like, oh, look, OCP has not Nazi flags hanging off their building, and the security officers aren't wearing black leather trench coats with black leather hats and carrying assault rifles. Definitely not Nazi-like imagery. And then, of course, the old man, not to jump, well, it is jumping way far ahead, but literally walking over that lady's corpse to get to his limo. I'm like,
near the end of the film.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the action scenes in this one, I think, are not as good as the ones in the first one, but
well, nobody.
I don't know. The action scenes between Kane and RoboCop are just okay.
Nobody got toxic waste spilled on them and then got splattered by a car. No, I like I said, after watching this movie again so many years later, I was like, this is actually pretty good. But, like, being off the high of the first RoboCop and then watching that one, like, just being introduced to it, I was like, oh, this is not as good.
You right. know?
But, yeah. Yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, not much more to say on my part on the second one.
Yeah. Because, like, Clarence going up against RoboCop was, like, no contest.
Mm-hmm.
Robo was going to win every time. Like, and he throws him through all those windows when he goes into the rock shop and throws him through all of them and everything. It's like Kane actually was like, yeah, I'll take you. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, of course, his Jesus complex is, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I can take you.
Was his downfall the drugs?
I can't Probably.
Remember. Yeah. Because he gets the vial of nuke and then, yeah. I honestly don't remember much how the second movie ends.
Oh, he takes it and then Robo... No, yeah, he takes the... And he's, like, stunned for a minute.
Hmm.
And Robo uses that to jump on top of him.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
takes his brain stem out of the oh, thing right. and Just throws it. Yeah,
and starts crushing steps it. On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kills him.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's about time for the third movie.
It is time.
It's about that time.
It is time for the third movie.
So how much longer after the second movie is the third movie?
Maybe like 6 months, something like that. Like it's they're fairly.
Lewis looks much, much older.
Yeah, well, yes. It's filmed probably quite a bit.
Is it quite a bit after?
Which
it's 1993.
Yeah, 93.
The third one, I don't remember what the second one is.
90, I believe.
Also 3 years.
Yeah.
But we forgot to mention that from the Paul Verhoeven, the first one, the Would You Like to Know More-esque, like, newsreel in the beginning. That was a good opener that they used for the first one. They did it again in the second one and the third one, but then they brought it back as, like, an intermission type thing in the third one.
Yeah.
Which was a little weird.
And there's, like, because doesn't Casey Wong blow his own brains out on TV?
He says something.
No, I'm sorry, that's in the comics. In the comics that follow 3, Casey Wong blows his brains out on live TV.
I thought there was a scene. You don't see it, but you...
That was the one, you hear that it. Was the guy from Godzilla versus, or, yeah, King of the Monsters.
Which one?
The one that is, like, the pilot of the huge ship. He's the one character that is the OCP operation. He's the security manager.
Oh, it's Stanton, the guy from Billy Madison. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he does, because the one guy commits suicide, and he's like, that's the fourth one this week.
And then he gets
what
fired.
He's like, what a coward. I'd eat a bullet if I was me.
And then he gets the pink slip. And then
ripped, torn, and is like, you're fired!
And then he goes outside, you just hear the gunshot and hear screaming.
Which, I want to say, there's a lot of, like famous people.
That's what I mean. No, like, RoboCop 3, and I said this before we started recording, but, like, after watching RoboCop 3, I paid so much close attention to it that I was like, this is missing two things, and this might actually be a decent RoboCop movie. Peter Weller and an R rating.
Mm-hmm.
Without those two things, the movie just falls.
So I know your opinion. What is your opinion on the movie?
On the third one?
Yeah.
Alright, so it's compared to the first two, it's definitely worse. But I still don't think it's terrible.
See,
Mako's in this movie too.
I didn't see him in the movie. I looked it up on IMDb, but I did see that he was in the movie.
He's just the big face on the TV. Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I might like this movie better than the second one.
No,
I really did enjoy this movie.
Fair.
Like I said, I'm with you. I'm with you that this movie is good. It just needed to have Peter Weller and an R rating, and it would have been better than the second one.
It's basically each one is a step down.
Yeah,
basically.
That's exactly what it is. And I've always said that about this trilogy.
So I loved the themes in this movie because it flips the narrative on our heads where the police are just straight up the villains in this movie.
Yeah.
The Johnny Rehabs.
And the police force gets swept up in that until the third act where they all decide to quit and then join the rebellion forces. But that was like... crazy. That's like, oh, the cops are literally like, they're like force evicting people from their house so that they
literally can... bulldozing down their homes while they're in it.
Yeah,
that was the beginning of the movie. We follow the kid, which not terrible. It's kind of strange that they're having a like, not in the first one, but a kid is like a main character in the second and third one, like a driving force of the film.
This one's a little bit not bad. I don't. That's not the right word, but like, it's not R-rated, so it's not as terrible seeming.
Her presence is like she hacks Ed 209, and then at the very end of the movie, I don't even know how she did it, but she hacks Otomo, there's like three of them. So let me say this: I like the movie. It's about 15 minutes too long for me. Like they could have chopped off some shit. And the only parts of the movie that don't really work for me are the Otomo parts.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I didn't buy into him at all.
And also, like, it makes me thinking back on this movie, it makes me think that Christopher Nolan might be a fan of this movie because he does the exact same fucking thing in The Dark Knight Rises that happens at the third act of this movie. The cops... and the people are locked, like, coming down the street towards each other, and Robo flies in and blows up the tank just like Batman flies in and blows up the the fucking tumblers so that they can charge him. I'm like, I'm so, like, it's the same thing.
That's a little lame too, RoboCop. So
jetpack. Yeah, I didn't care entirely too much for that one.
But one thing that I think is interesting is, like, in the second one, they make RoboCop more PR-friendly. But in this one, because, like, OCP is literally being fascist, they're like, well, take care of his memories and make him basically follow any orders we give him. You know, make him basically just
a robot.
Like, yeah, make him a robot so that we can use him to murder all of these people and evict them so that we can build this Delta City. And they teased it like it was actually going to happen. They gave the doctor a choice. Mm-hmm. And they, like, the next scene, he's, like, acting all robotic, and you're supposed to think that she did, like, update him.
Right.
And then Lewis is like, RoboCop, what's wrong? He's like, call me Murphy. And you're like, oh, she didn't do it! And she smashes the chip, and the next scene it's like, well, no, fuck. Anybody that was, like, surprised by that is so fucking dumb. Like, that is such an obvious
thing. Oh my god, they're gonna make RoboCop a bad guy.
And then they do the PR, OCP PR spin it, where they're like, RoboCop killed his partner, and,
Oh, yeah, after Lewis gets killed. Yeah.
And,
which was a surprise to me.
I was really surprised.
Like, oh, I was like, they killed Lewis? Which, she lives in the comics, by the way.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, she's alive in the comics.
I want to say, her reveal was, like, so funny, where it's, where, the one guy is, like, goes into the donut shop, and he's like, what can I get you? And he's like, everything in the register! And it's, like, full of cops, and they all just, like, pull their guns on him. And that's a famous guy, too. I don't know who it was, the donut shop owner. But he's like, what's it like
I did being... recognize him, too, yeah.
What's it like being a rocket scientist?
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's good.
And they get the call where it's like, oh, all units respond to this, and they're like, ah, we did it last time, it's your guys' turn. It's like, no, it's not our turn, it's Lewis's turn. And she has, like, the fucking paper up, and it's like, Lewis, go get it. And then it's like, she puts it down, and it's, like, supposed to be, like, a sitcom. Woo! It's someone we know! It was, like, such a lame reveal to me.
Yeah, like...
It was lame, I guess, but...
But, I mean, like, you have so much... So much potential in this movie that just was kind of squandered. Like, it's just like the comics. Like, Frank Miller's RoboCop from Dynamite plays just like this movie, which I love the comics, but they're way more violent than this movie. And that's Peter Weller and the R rating. Those are my only two complaints, really.
Yeah.
Everything else is fine.
See, I really like the story of...
Everything else fits it.
Yeah, the story's great.
Like, the, you know... them taking their housing and everything. Like,
yeah, because
stuff.
Like a lot of the, you know, the threequel is the one that kind of falls on its face, where they're like, we need to milk this for all it's worth, and then it comes out.
I
and
wonder
just,
why Peter Weller didn't come back.
I don't know why he didn't come back, but I wish he had. Can we deepfake
the only
him
problem
and redub the?
But the thing is, like I said in the first movie, it doesn't matter, like, who's in the suit, because it still looks like RoboCop.
Well, that's just the,
like,
thing. Like,
it does, but
and even when they take off his face, like the prosthetic of RoboCop's face, they made it look like Peter Weller to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No. He looks like it, but it's the voice. The voice is completely different. Like, it's just
not
Robert...
different enough to where, like, it bothered me.
No.
They could have definitely got somebody who could do a better Peter Weller impression.
Yeah, yeah, like Ed Harris. Because Ed Harris just looks like, yeah, they just look exactly the same.
I had something to say, but I forget what it is.
Sorry.
Continue.
I mean, this movie had a hell of a cast. Rip Torn and Mako.
Oh, I popped hard when I saw Rip Torn.
I forgot he was in the movie until I was watching it, and I was like, hey!
What's his name from Dodgeball? I can't think of it. He's the Rebellion guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say...
Steven Root.
Yeah,
Steven Root. Yeah, that's right,
so
he is.
You were saying that, like, it suffers from the PG-13 rating, and I can see that, but at the same time, it's totally going for a different thing. Like, the one scene whenever RoboCop goes into that hotel to, like, confront the rehab guys, and he, like, shoots that guy's gun, and then it, like, focuses on the gun and it flips, like, 30 times. I was laughing so hard. I was like, there's no possible way that this could be meant to be taken seriously. And then in the next scene, he, like, confiscates a pimp's car. And he's like, it's such a weird blending of, like, tones, where he's like, oh, he's in this, it's like almost the scene from Terminator 3, whenever he, like, goes to the gay club and he takes all that guy's shit.
Yeah.
But, like, he, like, is in that pink car with, like, flashing lights, and then he's, like, firing, like, at the rehab guys.
Oh, yeah, like, when he takes the glasses out, they're, like, stars with, like, red, like, tinted lenses.
Like, I feel like it was almost supposed to be, like, a joke like that.
Probably. It probably was. Yeah. But, but you, like I said, even in the second one, you had that type of comedy incorporated. So, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, that stuff in 3 is fine. It's just, like, I felt like it needed more violence. More violence. And I can overlook Peter Weller, but more violence. Make it rated R.
Yeah, I think the R rating is a little bit more essential than
it's like Terminator. Like, look at Terminator Salvation. When you don't have an R rating, the movie just sucks.
I don't know if that's the biggest reason for that one.
Well,
yeah,
Wait, no, Genesis was PG-13 too, wasn't it?
I like that one. But
No. I like Genesis. It's just, I don't know. There was something about it that was missing, and that's what I took away from it, was it needed the R rating and Peter Weller. But other than that,
the story's good.
But
in this case, I agree with you with the R rating. I think it's the most important thing that's missing.
Other than that, though, story's great.
I think the story is very good. I think it might be the best story, because it's dealing with something different. Like, the first one's dealing with RoboCop's humanity. Even the second one, a little bit, is dealing with that. With his relationship with his former family and Kane's, you know, basically forced to become this robot. But in the third one, it's literally like this giant corporation being oppressive to the people of Detroit,
It's basically the corporation coming to a head and realizing that is a major problem.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. This movie was built up to two movies before.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like the grand finale of it, like, oh, it's finally all happening. Like, and you start to see that, especially like what I said with the Nazi-esque imagery. Mm-hmm. Like, you start to realize this company is a bunch of bastards. And then in the third one, it's like, yep, full on bastard. Like,
I like the OCP, there's graffiti where it's occupying capitalist pigs.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit.
It is.
Like, that's really some heavy-fisted themes there.
Oh, yeah, and the splatterpunks. Yeah. Who are just like paintball kids, but somehow they kill people. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was something strange. So they set them up in the very beginning of the movie.
Stereotypical thing.
Punker.
Yeah, the punk, the whole punk.
Splatterpunk.
Like 80s movies, and when they have like punkers. Like,
yeah, they really.
They're really people like that. Like, why did they have to have nasty teeth? I mean, the Mohawks. Spot on, but
they're like degenerates, basically.
Yeah, but they're degenerates, but like they're murderers, like especially the splatterpunks. Like, what, the one cop got shot and was just killed. I was like, huh? I'm like, and they haven't caught this gang yet.
They lit RoboCop on fire.
Yeah,
like, they were like huge anarchists.
They tag where they basically squat.
Yeah.
So, like, you know that they're there, so you don't stick around, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Because that's why
until
the cops noticed it, like, Lewis and the other two.
Mm-hmm. And then they tried to get away. Or they called for backup, didn't they?
Yeah, because their cars were wrecked.
Yeah, and that's the main motivator of Murphy abandoning the people who robbed the armory to go save Murphy, which that scene was crazy, where he, like, jumps off the top of the parking garage.
He just lands
flat and then gets out and has, like, a giant machine gun arm that he just, like, kills half of.
That was pretty badass.
The movie's a little corny with the shit like that. And,
And
when he's like, I'm scanning three more hostiles.
But the whole,
thing
is corny, though.
And he catches the bullet that is shot at Murphy, and then he goes, make that two. Like, it's corny. But
I love it. I love that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But this, Splatterpunks was weird because, like, they set them up in the beginning, and then whenever the cops all quit the force, and then there's one of them, he's like, how would your friends like to make a buck? And he just, like, hires all the Splatterpunks to be, like, the Johnny Rehabs, which is, like, what?
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah, that was. Man, I feel like we spent more time talking about the third one than we did the second one.
I thought this was going to be a lot more contentious between the three of us, because I knew your opinion on it, not liking it very much, and I really enjoyed it.
No, I
watched it earlier.
Yeah, like, I like Mike and I agreed upon, they decline, but the third one is not, like I said, I know I tweeted about it like a couple months ago where I was like, RoboCop 3, not bad. I was like, the concept is great. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is great. The two things that
the story
that I keep saying.
Yeah, it's definitely not like Batman and Robin level.
No.
The third one, to me, the third one is really what springboarded the comics and is what makes it work. Because
I think it's the most compelling story out of all three of them.
Well, and that's the thing. The world building in 3 is what like set up the comics and everything, and like the later like the TV series and all that. It like this is the springboard. Whoever wrote this was a genius in going, hey,
wasn't Frank Miller on that one too?
I think he had a hand in it, but
because I remember seeing his name, I thought
he probably did have a hand in it. But I mean, like the world building was just so much better because you just have. I mean, you didn't have time in the first one, but the second one started to touch upon it, but the third one just went nuts.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about all we have to say about them.
That is.
Yeah.
Do we want to rate them now?
Of course.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we do on this show?
So, who would like to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
Well, we'll start with RoboCop, the first one. Yes. So we'll go around. I'm going to give this a 9.
Okay.
RoboCop a 9. It's the perfect blend of satire, action, drama, like, and pure, unadulterated violence. I don't know. There's something special about this movie. I feel like if you're a fan of movies, you should watch this movie just to have that experience. Because it's definitely, like, a different experience. Watching this movie when I was younger, I was like, this is odd. But then it's one of those movies that as you watch later on in life, you understand more about it and everything. You learn something new every time with it. And you understand Paul Verhoeven's, like, I call it, like, movie theory. Because that's what his movies are. They're satirical. They're supposed to tell.
Very much a parody of real life.
Yeah. Like, Total Recall, the Starship Troopers, all that. Like, 9.
I like Total Recall. I'm going to go... I just can't give it a 9, because, like, it's not... RoboCop's not, like, one of my favorite characters. Like, I don't know. So, I think I'm going to go 8, which sounds, I don't know, as iconic as it is. That, I don't know, 8.
Yeah, I didn't have the connection to these movies that a lot of people did. Yeah. Like, I think the first time I watched them, I was in college. And I only watched the first one. So, I don't have, like, the attachment to the character. But the story's great. Like you said, Paul Verhoeven's work, most of his work is very good. I'm gonna...
Next, we'll talk about Showgirls.
Yeah, I'll echo that 8. Okay. 8 out of 10.
So then that brings us to RoboCop 2. I'll drop it 1 point, give it an 8. And I'm sure you can see the pattern that my ratings are going to fall. I feel like
our patterns are just going to go...
Yeah, they're just gonna like slowly, but no. The second one is it's a good blend of the original writing. Ed Neumeier wrote the first one, but it's a nice blend of the original feel and everything, and Kirschner and Frank Miller's other thoughts and interpretations on the character. Incorporates a lot of comedy in it, but it just wasn't. Just wasn't exactly what the first one was. And I mean, the first one, it's kind of comparing apples to oranges because you have more discovery with the character in the first one than you do in the second one.
Well, yeah, it's so hard to keep that.
Yeah, you more turn RoboCop into that just action hero who has the problems along the way. It's not the rediscovery of the humanity and all that. So a little bit more meaningful to the character in the story in the first one, not so much in the second one, but it has a lot of cool action sequences and everything. But still, I mean, Servant Kirshner, you kind of got to give the man props. He did direct the best Star Wars movie of all time.
The whole time you're talking, I was debating on where I wanted to go with the second one. I don't know if it's a full point down, so I think I'm going to go 7.5. For the second one.
Okay.
Like, it's just, there's just something about it where it's just not quite up to the first one standards, but I mean, I think it's a good follow-up.
Yeah. I will drop an entire point, so I'm going to say 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just loses me a little bit with the Kane specifically. I don't know. I can't get that out of my head. Just
yeah, he wasn't my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. But I think that the villains in, well, with the exception of Otama, I'm not counting him as a villain, but the villains in 3 and 1 are better than him as a character villain. So.
RoboCop 3. I will drop it a full point, but I don't need to reiterate my reasoning. But it will be a 7 out of 10 for me. Like I said, 6, the comic...
Oh, no, wait, yeah.
I gave it the highest rating. 7 out of 10 because, like I said, the concept is great. The storytelling in it is also great. It's just missing those two. The world, like we touched upon, the world building in this is like, I wanted another movie out of this. Like, after watching the third one, I'm... Give me more. Give me more of this world. It's great.
A fourth one would have been great.
Yeah. Especially if Peter Weller had come back.
Can you imagine if they made a fourth one? Like, not a sequel or the remake. They made, like, a sequel where Peter Weller came back and it's just, like, old face.
Old man. Old man, like, Robo.
His skin starting to age.
Now, you know what's going to happen. We say that.
It's going to happen now.
And then like during the Super Bowl next year, there'll just be like a teaser of him like getting out of the car and he's like, you know, draws down on somebody. And then it just says coming summer 2023. Yeah.
The return.
Yeah, the return. The return that the world's been clamoring for.
We're manifesting it.
That's right. Yep. We put it out there. Now it's in the ether. It is.
So, number 3, this might come as a shock. But since I really like the story, and like the story was in the second one,
you're putting it above, aren't you?
I'm gonna put it even.
Oh, so, okay, all right.
Very interesting, because I was also going to keep it on equal footing, but I like the story more, so I'm going to say 7.5. Right. I honestly think I like the third one more than the second one. I think that it. I think I probably would have enjoyed it even more if it was Peter Weller.
Right.
Like the PG-13 rating isn't that huge of a deal to me, just because I think that...
No, yeah.
In the sense of RoboCop, I just think it's...
It would have benefited from the R rating, but I don't know. I just really like it. Probably because everybody's like, oh, it sucks. So I was expecting it to be dog shit.
Oh, yeah,
and I was
exactly.
Like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Like, basically, all the stuff that I've seen online, different reviewers or whatever,
yeah.
And talking about it, I think they set my expectations
so low yeah.
That I'm like, this movie's not nearly as bad.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like, if you read up anything about RoboCop, they're like, oh, it's like a 30-something on, well, it's not, I think it's like a 50-something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But it's like, anytime you ask somebody about RoboCop 3, they're like...
40 like, points on Metacritic and like a 4.2 or something on IMDb.
But it's not that bad. I mean, it's really not. Like, if you actually take it for what it's worth in the series, it's good.
Yeah.
And like I said, the whole comic sprung from that one, so...
Me being a huge wrestling fan, I can't go without saying RoboCop made an appearance on WCW.
Did he?
Yeah, he came out.
They chop-shot him?
He saved Sting.
Oh... Yeah.
Or he beat up Sting. I don't remember.
That's crazy.
Was it Peter Weller?
I don't know.
No, so like Peter Weller was...
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, he did it for a KFC commercial. Remember those KFC? Those really weird,
those
like...
Those were very strange.
Remember when
that was whenever like everybody was being the different colonel.
Yeah. And then Peter Weller... It wasn't Peter Weller. It was Peter Weller as RoboCop was the colonel.
That was so weird.
Like he like came out of somebody... Like,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, like what? He like kicked open somebody's door and like he's like knock knock and has like a bucket of chicken or something.
I don't remember
like,
seeing that.
Dude, they're so weird. Like, yeah. I'll have to pull them up for you.
I remember other ones.
Yeah,
but
KFC's bizarre marketing. But I do remember that.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
I had to Google it after I watched it and I was like, that wasn't actually Peter Weller. And it's like Peter Weller suits up as the Colonel.
Did I just
and I was
have
like,
a
what?
Fever dream of this?
It feels like
yeah.
it. It doesn't feel real. It was like, who thought of that?
Do we know if Peter Weller was the voice
of RoboCop in Mortal Kombat 11? Yes, he was. Was he? So was Sly. Yeah. Sly was Rambo's voice, too.
Yeah, okay.
Because I had to look that up, because I was like, that is a really good Peter Weller impersonation, and then I Googled it, and it was actually Peter Weller.
I think the only one they didn't get was Arnold.
Yeah, because how are you going to get Arnold?
I mean, I think he would do it.
He would do it. He did Dutch, the DLC for Dutch in the Predator game for PS5. But, yeah. Yeah, anyway, RoboCop. Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, there was our spoiler discussion of RoboCop.
That's right.
We have another recommendation coming your way from yours truly. I gauged the table earlier on. I had a couple locked and loaded, and I think you guys have made up my mind for me. So next time, for the podcast, we will be watching Galaxy Quest.
How did I know that's what that was going to be? Because when you said sci-fi comedy, I was like, oh, Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, there's it's got to be lot. It.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
It was either Spaceballs or Galaxy Quest, but Galaxy Quest was the first one to pop into my head.
So yeah, if you don't want to be spoiled for Galaxy Quest, make sure to watch it before next episode. Thank you for watching or listening to our discussion on the RoboCop trilogy. Please comment and subscribe. And yeah, thank you for watching, guys.
I'd buy that for $1.